Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. For control freaks and people wanting to make things predictable so that they can act as they want and plan, Easter has got to be your worst nightmare. Control freaks, you may want to just save yourself the trouble and get out right now. And second thought, no, don't. It would only prolong your misery. The devil is a control freak, by the way. Death is his chief weapon. And indeed, he has a high rate of predictability, but you know what? Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. Hallelujah. And that makes a huge asterisk on what he otherwise had as pretty reliable. And this one especially kills him to no end. Now, we do like to have a lot of things predictable, don't we? Some degree of predictability, regularity, order, usually allows godly things to flourish among us. And we keep order as we're able for the sake of our neighbors being able to rely on us and to affirm God's creation and the way he made it and how he said he would work in it. There's a certain order in the divine service, in the church year, with all the customs that we love to have on Easter. This is all intended so that we can hear God's word and the wonderful things that he has done, so that we can hear them, so that our faith can grow and good works of love can flourish among us. And yet no one year is exactly like the next, and nobody would want it that way. And that's just how life is. But God, no less, is always calling us to be in response with him because he has clearly shown the good things that he has for us. He wants us to trust in him, in his Son in particular, into a world that is full of all kinds of unknowns. And just to look and review this morning's gospel, try counting how many things did not go as anticipated, as if everything was predictable and under control, so that they could make plans and have things as they thought would happen, as they thought would desire. And I hate to say the word predicted here, because so much of this is predicted actually many times over in the Bible. But as for what was more immediate before them that they thought they could count on, first of all, we saw Mary Magdalene and the other women. They went to the tomb. It was still dark. They were planning to anoint Jesus' dead body. But as we heard at the Easter vigil last night, the stone was not covering the tomb. Not anticipated. Next, we also heard last night, they saw a young man telling them Jesus is risen and that they should go and tell his disciples, he's going before you to Galilee. That's two things that didn't happen as planned already. Then I suppose we could count how the women thought that the disciples, surely they're going to go to the tomb and investigate. But they didn't, except for Peter and John, as we just heard. And then when Peter and John get there, those two disciples, unexpectedly, they were not seeing an absence of burial cloths, or burial cloths just strewn every which direction, but they found them folded distinctly in a place by themselves. That's three or four if you're counting, but who's counting? Then Mary, she sees two angels in the tomb. Mary probably didn't expect that. And then as she was weeping, she saw Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. She wasn't expecting to see him. And yet she wasn't afraid. But then she continued weeping. Jesus was behind her. Jesus unexpectedly said her name. And that's where she saw him. This is the biggest moment. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. And now she did recognize him. And yet we're not through. Then she either clutched him or she was about to. And that is when Jesus said, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go and tell my brothers." So I think you can see a pattern here. Jesus, especially in his resurrection, is hard for us in our typical expectations to pin down. In fact, it's impossible. Hardly anything were they able to plan on. even to some extent the very ground beneath them, all this defiance of normal expectations, it's a control freak's nightmare. And yet, it's wonderful. To shift on you again, Jesus is not hard to locate, no less. Just look at what he said to Mary. Go to my brothers, say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, my God and your God. In the other Gospels, we see him point them to Galilee, and that's where they indeed would see him. Jesus kept his word, just like always. He was true, he was predictable according to his words, just like always. That is predictable. And that's a big part of why the apostles, by his direction, wrote these things down for us, so we would be assured of the only thing that is sure, that you can count on, knowing God always keeps his word. And then they were teaching us to trust in him, to move forward in a life of always turning to God in this way, to trust him in his word, his gospel, dwelling in and among us, pointing to the great things that God has done and is doing, so that we live our lives not by our own planning, but in hearing and reading his word, responding in prayer and action, and the Lord will be making himself known in that way. Jesus, likewise, presents himself to you in baptism, the water of baptism, where you die with Christ and you are a fundamentally new person. He gives you his true body and blood in the sacrament, giving himself and the gifts of his Holy Spirit to live in and through you. And he, as he said, is going to appear again in his resurrected form when he comes in glory. He clearly promised that both before and after his resurrection. And so, for people who insist on having everything predictable in a way that they've secured for themselves by their own power and their own ways of making, they're not going to like Jesus. They're not going to like his ways. They're not liking life. And they're certainly not liking Easter. There was a certain incident in the Old Testament. David was dying. Solomon was supposed to come to the throne. That's what David said. But Solomon's oldest brother, his name was Adonijah, he went out pretending like he was the next king, because he's the oldest son after all. But David earlier had said, against most people's expectations, Solomon is to be king. And so Bathsheba and Nathan went back to David reporting all that happened, and David reaffirmed, Solomon is king. And so now Adonijah was afraid, he was ashamed, afraid that they would kill him, and so he went into the temple, he clung as much as he could to the horns of the altar to try to keep them from touching him, trying to stay alive. He said, I'm going to die right here unless you promise me that you will not kill me. And so Solomon said, okay, Adonijah, if you behave yourself, we won't kill you. Well, that was a conditional promise, and, well, it wasn't long, and Adonijah didn't behave himself. He tried to sneak the kingship back, and so Solomon had him executed. Well, then Joab, who had been David's general, he also sided with Adonijah when Adonijah was acting like the king. He went into the temple and started clinging to the horns of the altar where he thought that he was going to find safety. This has got to be sanctuary. They can't touch me here. I have security here, he thought. He was planning. And so Solomon said, Joab, get out here. Joab said, nope, I'm going to die right here. In other words, he thought that clinging to the altar, they couldn't touch him. And so you know what they did? Strike him down, Solomon said, and they struck him down. He died there, just like he said, in the temple, only it was a lot faster than he anticipated. Not in the way he planned. Now, that altar was not at all desecrated by that blood in the Old Testament. It's God's word that makes something holy. And even though that blood was shed, that killing, it was actually God-pleasing. Faith is not superstition. It's not based on superstition. God has designated certain things for refuge, for where we can know his will for most circumstances, if we live in accord with his word and in faith. But if you're still unrepentant, you're using something God instituted for a life that is against his word at the same time, well, then it's going to do you no good. You would actually be harboring God's anger and fooling yourself. Mary Magdalene, she could have tried tying herself to Jesus as he was right there, thinking she could pin him down and control him. But she would have been fooling herself, and she didn't want to soon. Pinning herself to Jesus would not keep her from dying, or it wouldn't make her happy, for that matter. But what she did do instead was that after initially grasping for him, she continued to believe, to go forward into a world full of, she would know what she could expect. But she nonetheless did it knowing that Christ is Lord, and he rules by his word. She held to his words. As he told her, she started going to his disciples, and then on to whatever would come next. But she knew this world is Christ's world. Now she had faith. She was living and acting according to his word and living response with him. She'd be confessing the faith to others in the days and years to come. And you know what? Mary Magdalene was going to die someday. Or I really should say she had the opportunity to die someday, because she'd gladly do that on a day when she would not choose, because she still had Jesus' word and she still had the full joy of Easter following him. She didn't try to freeze everything on Easter morning or to pin it down, to record it all on YouTube so she could play it back and on whenever she wanted while she would go off and do some other thing. No, she knows that life is only in, with, and through Jesus by his word. And she continued responding to his word, and his Holy Spirit would be working in and with and through her to the end of the age. She was truly living. She's had her same flesh, and yet she was living already the life everlasting. She was going to go through the grave. She had full confidence and joy in the midst of all things she faced. This is our same risen Lord who's given himself to you. He, in your baptism, gave himself to you in his heavenly promise. And he continues to teach you, to give you that resurrection confidence as you hear his word through his church. And he offers the comfort of his body and blood today to continue in the confidence of his word. He lives never to die again. He paid for your sins perfectly. It means that as you trust in him in these, death and no circumstances can truly harm you. And as you do, he'll bring about wonderful things through you that most people normally don't expect. Even the great works of love that don't go with the normal course of dying nature. These show that Christ is living indeed. He is the risen and ascended Lord, and he's working in you now. Now, I know how throughout the years we run into a lot of things where we might be led to wonder, is Jesus, would he really be still with me in the face of a lot of things that are failing, in the face of fainting in church, perhaps? Well, you know, if we're going against his word, if we were going against his word, we would not have that kind of confidence. We would be thinking perhaps of his word as like a good luck charm, a talisman, thinking like Joab did. But if you have done wrong, you're sorry for it, and turn to him for forgiveness, he's glad to forgive you. He wants you to walk with him. And he does forgive you and will, so that you have an open heaven still before you. If you just want to hear Jesus' forgiveness, but you don't want to turn from sin, if you don't want him to be your Rabboni, your teacher, in the way of life everlasting, well, you're not looking for the right Jesus. You're looking for a predictable God that you can control, who would just further you on your own way. But the way of life is from the risen Lord Jesus. He died for sin. We live now, despite our sins, we live to him. Mary Magdalene had a whole world where she didn't know so many things before her, but she knew her Lord had risen. Who knows what she might find ahead? She wasn't clear about all the meaning of what Easter implied, what Jesus' crucifixion implied, but it would become more clear as she would continue. Mark tells us about how after Easter morning, right after she saw Jesus, she went to the disciples and she thought they would believe, but that didn't happen. They kept doubting, but it seems Mary didn't give up. She held fast to what she heard and saw with Jesus. And eventually, that very day, the disciples saw Jesus just like Mary said. Eventually, they started seeing how indeed all the scriptures pointed to this, what had all just happened with our Lord crucified and now risen. How God always is proving true to his word in the midst of many crosses in this world. He is leading his people in the way of everlasting life. He wants all to join him. Now, if somebody thinks they can make sense of the world apart from Jesus so that they could comfortably plan out their life, so that they'd go according to their own expectations, they're going to fail and they're going to be miserable. But if you trust Jesus, you keep hearing, learning of him, as you walk into the world of unknowns, you'll be able to face those uncontrollable things without fear and with confidence and joy. Part of the tragedy of our present world is we keep trying to make everything predictable, secure, designed to go our way. And meanwhile, we forget what living is all about. Have you ever maybe planned a vacation and said that I'm going to do this at this time, and this at this time, and this at this time, and set a strict, detailed schedule for every moment of that vacation? I hope not. Because that would be no room for something unpredictable, for any room for life. That's a world that we would design and plan out ourselves, for ourselves, and frankly, it's a world nobody wants. Jesus is the life, and he leads us in a life of hearing his word and responding to him through all sorts of unexpected things, and invites us to trust in him, to keep knowing him and seeing the reality of his resurrection, how he gives joy that is secure in the midst of every cross and every evil. We keep on hearing, reading, thinking about his word, indeed praying with him through all that is ahead. He and his saints reassure us just as it happened with them. They want you to trust him through all things ahead, despite all efforts that control freaks would put before us out there. Jesus has broken their power, and he continues to live and reign to all eternity, just as it is most certain that Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen.